I can't believe you're putting it on me, Brother John. What goes around comes around, I guess. Well, it is good to be saved. I tell you what I really feel like ought to happen. I don't care to preach, Brother John, and I've got a message. I really feel like we've had the service today, really and truly. I don't know if all you preachers are like this, but you get to meet. Preaching does different things. Sometimes you exhort, you encourage, and it's sweet, and that's how it's supposed to be. And then sometimes you educate, sometimes you rebuke, sometimes you instruct. And this has just been a little sweet service this morning, Brother John. And my message is more an instructional type thing, and maybe I just missed it, you know. And it doesn't seem like it fits the flavor of the Spirit this morning. I sure hate to put a damper on it. I really would. And of course, the Lord knows. And I tell you what I'd like to do. I'd like to just pray. Could somebody pray for us? Brother Harvey, pray for us and ask God for a little direction. Actually, the last part of chapter 23 and chapter 24. If you were to look in 2 Kings chapter 23, we're talking about Josiah's revival. And I'm comfortable, most of you all know the details of that. But then if you look down in chapter 24, you see Nebuchadnezzar. Just a short time after the revival, it says in 2 Kings 23 and verse 20, one of the 28 to 29 there, I believe it is, Josiah, he passes away. Had a great revival. I mean, they had a meeting. Maybe, Brother John, it might even excel what we've had this week. It's just tremendous, tremendous work. But Josiah dies. The next couple of kings come in, they do wickedly, and then they're carried into captivity. And here's the thing, and I've even heard some of God's people say this, there's no use to have a revival, it doesn't last. It doesn't last. Now, I don't know if y'all put any stock in Unger's dates, but basically Josiah died about 20 years before they was carried into captivity. I might have missed it a little bit, but it's in that neighborhood. So here's what happened. They had a revival. Josiah dies. 20 years later, they're in captivity. And here's what you say. Well, what good did Josiah do? Well, where do you think Daniel and the three Hebrew children come from? You see, a revival, it might not help the whole nation, but that it'll do an eternal work in some individual's life. And so I just want to say to you, these meetings are so important. It's so important. And you may next week, and I'm the world's worst for this, I'll fly away today, and 3 days from now I'll be scraping the bottom. You know, and I'm wondering what happened. I mean, where in the world, what's going on? But I'm going to tell you, sometimes there's life-changing, there's changes that are eternal made in people's hearts and lives in meetings just like this. And oh my, we ought to put our hearts and minds. I come in sometimes, and I say it all the time, I'm just a backward person, but I purposed in my heart to try to put my heart, my mind, my soul into the meetings I find myself in. And I've seen some of y'all doing that this week. Man, I tell you, that's what makes the, in my mind, that's what makes a good meeting. God's people just being honest with God and doing what God has them to do. And so I see here, I see Daniel. I've got just a burden on my heart for folks just, I thought what Paul said to Timothy, here he is, he's getting ready to die. And you think he'd have, and he did have some profound things, but here's what he said, continue. I mean, my, that's real deep right there. Just keep doing what you do. Well, we all troubled and tore up, and you know, Brother Wells addressed it so well the other night about that rock, that unmovable rock, that thing that'll never change in our lives, the Lord Jesus, or that person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think the devil takes circumstances and gets us out of focus. I can sit and fret for days over something I can't do anything about, and I've just wasted that time in serving the Lord. And he's done, the devil has done that to me more than I care to admit. But here's some fellas. Here's a great revival that's come off, that's come and went, and the nations went back into paganism, if I could maybe use that word. And they've even been carried into captivity. But there's three or four fellas down there that they're still, and maybe it was their mom and dad that got right in the meeting, and they just raised old Daniel right. I don't know how old he was. But whatever the effects, I know it's supposition. I can't prove that's why Daniel was what he was. But I'm convinced of that in my heart. And so I'm thinking, how is it we're going to go on? Really, what's important to me at this point in my life, and I'm not an old man, but what's important is this thing going on. The thing I fear the most is me leaving our church and it falling apart. Not that I'm anything. I'm nothing, but I don't want people to have confidence in me. I want them to be able to go on. I hope when I step off the scene, it's like I was never there. It just goes on better than it's ever went. And I think that's how it ought to be. I think that's the way we want that. And if that happens, I will feel like I've been successful. But then I start thinking about this. Well, what was it that made Daniel? Surely they took more than four children down into Babylon, down into captivity. Surely they took more than four children. What was it that allowed them to go on? You don't hear nothing about the rest of the children. You don't hear anything about them. All you hear about is Daniel and the three Hebrew children. They had something, Brother Patton, that helped them go on, and the rest of them didn't go on. Now, I know this thing is of God. But I do know this, we can position ourselves for God to help us. That's right. I can't make the Lord do anything and wouldn't want to, but I can tell you this, we can put ourselves in a place where if God chooses, He can bless us. And really, that's about all you can do. That's about all you can hope for. Just position yourself and do what you need to do. And then if God chooses to bless, He blesses. And if He chooses, let you struggle, you're going to struggle. I will tell you, you're not going to win all victories. Hebrews 11 says, and others. And others. They were just as victorious as the rest of them, but it didn't look that way. Stephen, just as victorious as the Apostle Paul, but it might not look that way to some. That's right. And so I just want to give you this little quick four or five little things that Daniel and the three Hebrew children had in their life. And my, there's so much in chapter number one. You can see the spiritual strategy of the enemy. He separated, he took the godly and moved them to the ungodly. There you see that. He altered their appetites. He educated them differently than they had been educated. He had continuous oversight over them. That'd be good for a lot of God's children to do with their own families. Continuous oversight. And then he used intimidation to try to alter their mindsets. And so you could talk about that, but there was some spiritual success in these difficult times. There were some things Daniel had. Can I say to you, he had a comprehension of spiritual knowledge. Here's what they said, we're going to let you eat our meat. We're going to feed you with our meat. Now, I don't know, I've just got it in my mind that Daniel didn't have to say, would you try to call back home and ask mom and dad if it'd be all right if I eat this meat? Yeah. I don't think he had to check with the pastor. I don't think he had to check. Hey, Daniel had some knowledge about right and wrong, and he stood on that in perilous time. I'll tell you what's wrong today. We have no spiritual knowledge. I'm telling you, it amazes me. You know, I know it sounds crazy to y'all. We give our little Sunday school classes an achievement test. We give them a little test here a while back. It shocked you how little they know. It shocked me. I was embarrassed how little our children know. I mean, I just thought, I'd be scared to death if I used that phrase to give it to the parents. It scared me to death to do that. Can I just tell you, we're living in a day with no spiritual knowledge of the Word of God. Brother John and I were sitting in a meeting. This missionary said this, people are trying to serve a God they know nothing about. That is so true today. I'm going to tell you what's going to help us get through, what's going to help you get through when the shouts have died out and the testimonies are not around and the brethren's not there to pat you on the back. I tell you what's going to help you, the truths of the Word of God. This blessed old book. This truth that God has given to you and I. That's what's going to see you through, and our children through, and our grandchildren through. It's the Word of God we need down on the inside. Oh my. So many times they'll come to me and ask, they always do the pastor that way. You know what I'll do if I'm not careful? I'll tell them what I think. How stupid on my part. You know what I'll do is give them a verse. Chapter and a verse. Or say, here's what I believe and here's the scripture to back that up with. I'm just trying to say to you, it had spiritual comprehension. He knew right from wrong. He'd had some teaching somewhere. Somewhere somebody had given some teaching. But then I want to say too, he was committed to holiness. Man, what we call holy today, I don't even think it qualifies carnal 50 years ago. Folks say they're holy and you see them in the mall, you can't tell them from the world. Where is holiness? Where is it God's people says I'm getting sin out of my life and I'm keeping it out of my life? I wonder sometimes we come in our church and I just wonder if the unconfessed sin was put up on the board, if we'd be embarrassed about it. I dare say it would humiliate us. Oh my, we don't think much about that. I've got the scriptures there and I don't need to turn to them. This crowd knows that. The Bible teaches us to be holy. Let us cleanse ourselves. Hey, you know what the Bible says? Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the... Does it say flesh first? Flesh and spirit. You know I do sometimes. And I don't want to be braggy. I'll make a terrible mistake. But I focus on the clean flesh. That's my focus. You know what, Brother Wells? I find out my big struggles with my spirit. My spirit. I have no hateful, mean spirit about me. And I've got everything dotted every I and crossed every T. But I'm mean as a snake. Oh, my, I believe that goes against the attributes of the Spirit of God. Amen. You know it does. Hey, we don't think nothing about it, old filthy spirit. I'm telling you, God does. Amen. There I want to stay holy. I want to be clean before God. Listen, I'm talking about practical holiness. Don't run me in the ditch on that. Well, then I want to say too, he comprehended spiritual truth and he was committed to personal holiness, but his convictions were strong enough for him to say no. That's right. Now you say, now preacher, he didn't say no. Oh yeah, he's saying no. He just saying it in a kind way. That's right. He wasn't going to eat that. There wasn't no way Daniel's eating that meat. I'm just convinced of that as I'm standing here. He didn't just come out and say no, but he said, hey, let me just drink a little water, need a little bread. You don't care if that'd be all right with you. Oh no, the king be upset. Well, let's just put it to a test and see how it works out. I'm going to tell you what I think Daniel was saying to that fellow. He's saying, no, I'm not eating that, but I don't want to hurt your feelings or insult you. I want to be kind about it. So if you'll just let me drink water and bread, that'd be all right for me. You know what that was? That was some convictions in his life. That's somebody he believed in, but he believed enough to act on it when he didn't know what the consequences would be. That's right. And so he had some conviction. I don't see many convictions. Really, I'm just looking around. We say this is wrong, but it's a belief and not a conviction, a belief. I believe that. I don't see a lot of folks saying no when it's unpopular. I really don't. I have members and, man, I thought this champions. And they had folks come down from Connecticut. They was missing on Wednesday night. You may get me run off, John, putting this on the internet, but I don't care, it's so. And come Wednesday night, they wasn't there. And it really come down. If I was to ask them, do you believe you ought to be faithful to the house of God? You know what they'd tell me? Yes. Yes, preacher, I believe you ought to be faithful to the house of God. I believe you ought to be there when the door's open. But can I tell you, when it come down to family or to the church or the work of the Lord, can I tell you who won out? You just figured out for yourself. Can I tell you, it was a belief, but it wasn't a conviction. It had not. Hey, we've got to get some convictions, and somebody somewhere has to get some convictions in their life. That's right. Here he is, and really, it's an unpopular thing, but it's hard to say no. I know some people have hard trouble. I've got a baby girl. She can't tell nobody no. It's half her problem she's had in her life because she can't say no. I don't know why that is. I don't have a bit of trouble saying no. I mean, I just can't understand it. Doesn't make sense. In fact, sometimes I like to tell people no. That's right. I enjoy it. And maybe that's the wrong spirit, but I want them to know where I stand. That's right. Well, anyway, we see he had a comprehension of spiritual truth. He was committed to personal holiness. And he had conviction strong enough to say no. And then I want to say he's continued to be different. Now, I think the majority of them children went along with the Babylonian plan. But there's four of them said, we don't care what you do, here's what we're going to do. You can go that way and you can fit in and you can be that. And I can think of 100 reasons why I could justify fitting in. But here's what they said. And we know we'll be different. We know we're not going to fit in. We know it's going to make us stand out. But we're going with God. We're just going with God. We're going to do what He wants. We're going to dress like He wants, eat like He wants, walk like He wants, and whatever else they do, let them do it. It's okay. They're willing to be different. They're contented to be different. I'm convinced today that a lot of God's people live defeated because they're not content to be different. They want to fit in. They want to fit in. My. And then he was courageous enough to be confrontational. And you can study that out. I, I need to quit. My time's about gone. But here's what I'm saying. He was courageous. Hey, we can jump on over there and they're saying, hey, you can't pray to anybody. You can't pray but to this image here. You know what old Daniel did? You know what he did. He opened the windows as always before. Got down and prayed. They knew what he's going to do. They knew the man. They knew what kind of fellow he was. They knew he wasn't going to back down. Oh my, he was courageous enough. I'm going to tell you, and this may hurt your feelings, 95% of God's people are cowards. And really, the fact of the matter is, I've been very much a coward in my life. That's not something we like to say out loud, but the fact of the matter is, we're cowards. I'll never forget what Leland Fraser said in the meeting up at our place. He said, you can let a 16-year-old girl at the drive-thru window intimidate you into not giving a try. That's exactly, amen, it's quiet, but you know that's exactly how it is with some folk. That's right. Well, I'm going to tell you, he was courageous. Many of us are cowards. We're cowards. I'm going to tell you why he could go on. He had the truth, the Word of God. He comprehended it. He was committed to personal holiness. His convictions were strong enough to say no. And he said it kindly. But be sure he meant no by that. He was contented to be different. He was courageous enough to be confrontational. I'm just going to give you these and sit down. He is characterized by humility. Oh my, sometimes I put my game face on when I have a hard message. I get my game face on and my war paint or whatever you want to say. I get in that pulpit and man, I preach it to them. Oh, I preach it to them. Oh, I give it to them. But then there's something nudges me and says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and gentleness. Goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. That's right. That's right. And my whole filthy spirit has to find a place and repent and say, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Oh my. Here he was. He was characterized by humility. You don't see. I just look at how he dealt with the master of the eunuchs. He was very kind to that man. Very gentle to him. He didn't just say, listen, buddy, you don't know nothing and I know everything and I've got God on me and if you think you're going to tell me what to do, you've got enough. He didn't do it like that. Oh, no, he was kind and gentle. And I know sometimes you have to be plain spoken with some folks to get them to understand. I'm not that foolish. I know that. But he was characterized by humility. Yeah, amen. And then, Chapter 6, he is careful to maintain a personal prayer life. Careful to maintain a personal prayer life. How did he go on? Nobody around. All the other children sold out. He positioned. Now listen, we know it had to be God to help him. I don't want to take God out of the equation. But can I tell you, he positioned himself for God to bless him. He had a comprehension of spiritual truth. He was committed to personal holiness. His convictions were strong enough to say no. He was contented to be different. He was courageous enough to be confrontational, characterized by humility and careful to maintain his prayer life. You know what I believe? I believe that'll take us on. I believe it will. Brother Patton, I believe it'll take us on. I believe it'll take your children on. When you're gone, you're off the scene. You're out of the way. I believe they could just lay hold to some of them truths. It'd take them on down the road and away. Hallelujah. Hey, I'm like Brother Rains. There's hope. They still hope. There's a God in heaven. Hey, I guess a lot of them said, hey, Josiah's revival didn't amount to a thing. There's old Daniel. Them three Hebrew children. Amen. And my, the work's going on and on at all. Let's be true to Him today. Stay true to Him in these difficult days. I'll remind you again what the Apostle Paul said to young Timothy. Continue. Continue. Brother John.